This is Redefining the Counterculture on Witten Radio. Make sure to check out our website at wittenradio.com.
Hey guys, we've got a special interview for you today. We are joined by the beautiful and insanely talented Lisa Vikingstad. Lisa, how's it going?
It's going good.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us on tonight.
It's beautiful. I'm awkward about it. Sorry.
It's okay. It's okay. Lisa, it's so awesome to have you on tonight's show. And for our listening audience, Lisa is actually a comedian. She's actually very accomplished, and she's continually growing by the day. And Lisa, for our listening audience, I was wondering if you could tell us just a little bit about yourself. How did you first get involved in comedy, and did you know that this was something you always wanted to pursue?
Started when I was, like, super, super young, like, 15. Like, I just hated high school, and I hated just being in school. I had, like, my one friend, and we would watch SNL all, like, every weekend, and we'd watch Weekend Update, and we just both were really into, like, making videos, and that's what we did in our short time instead of being, like, going to parties that we weren't invited to anyway. So we just made videos over the weekend just for ourselves, and then, like, I started to find things that submit things to you and start finding these classes and things like that. And I was like in my 15-year-old head, like, oh, everyone has the thing that they're good at. I'm not good at a thing. I want to be good at a thing. And so, like, I was like, I want to decide right now what I want to do for the rest of my life. And I really did that. I had that conversation with myself. And for, like, a couple days, I decided I either wanted to be, like, Vincent D'Onofrio from Law & Order Criminal Intent, like that profile kind of guy, or a comedian and a comedy writer, and I decided to be a comedy writer because, you know, that's just a better fit for me. And so I just started taking classes with Pitt and I did like a SNL writers class at Pitt, and then I did this Second City improv and sketch writing kind of intensive with two of my friends over the summer, and I was like being 16. And then I started at UCB doing classes with improv program when I was 17, and finished that, did the year sketch writing program, which I definitely did better in, and then did their dance program. And just always throughout college, like, still wanting to do that. I live in college and things like that. And then I got on a house team with Pitt, the People's Improv Theater, and did teams there, like, shows every month for, like, 3 years, and then, took two guys from my team there, and now that's, what I do now is, Van Damme Comedy is a sketch group that we do videos, and we do, a lot of cool things, so that's really the story. It never really ended, it's just, like, an ongoing thing.
Very nice. It seems like it's, been quite the journey so far. Very nice, very nice. The New York Upright Citizens Brigade is legendary. It's the legacy that they have is just amazing. I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about it, and what was it like being a part of something so special?
Oh, it's great. I mean, one of those places that, of course, like, everyone wants to take classes there, and it's, you know, classes fill out in, like, 30 seconds. It's crazy. But you can take a class if you know about it or not. Like, you can take beginner's classes, and no one really judges you there, which is amazing. And you really, like, start to, when you're taking classes, realize, like, okay, is this a good fit for me? Is this style a good fit? And the best thing about it is that their teachers are so accomplished, and they do, it's very, very different, like, based on the teacher there. So you'll get someone that teaches a certain way, and that just really speaks to you, and it kind of shapes you and helps you grow in different ways. And it's cool because they have you do shows there yourself with your class, and they really just teach you, like, a good work ethic as well. You know, they they say, like, you have to practice outside of this when you're doing the improv program. You have to, they're just really good about structuring the way to learn that stuff. So that's really cool.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there have been so many accomplished comedians that have gone through the program at UCB, and just it's just amazing. I've visited, but I've never been a part of it. But just being there in attendance, you know, during one of the shows,
the one at Chelsea, or the one at the East Village?
The one at Chelsea.
Oh, great!
Yeah, it was just amazing. This was a few years back, but it was just so amazing.
I think they're just great. They're great at, like, they have such a variety of different kinds of talent there. It's like, it really shows that they're good at, like, picking out, you know, what's your thing and what makes you good, and, like encouraging you to grow that instead of just, like, be good, be good, be good. You know, just they want you to focus on what makes you good, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Lisa, you spoke on this briefly a few minutes ago, but you currently are working on your project Van Damme comedy. And I was wondering. Oh, go ahead. I'm so sorry.
Oh no, this is me interrupting.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so Van Damme is basically three people, me, Ronan, Zabit, and Tristan Griffin. We're all, like, people that have gone through various classes and used to be as well and things like that. And we all performed at People's Improv Theater together on teams, as well as all their, like, acting programs and things like that. And so we all just, throughout the last year and a half, kind of realized that we all had videos in mind. Like, we all thought that was the way we really wanted to showcase what we're doing. And strangely, what we ended up realizing is the content kind of matched as well. That we kind of have certain issues that we focus on, not only one or two, but we get really passionate about certain, like, societal issues and you know, like, racial issues and gender and things like that. Just, like, we love commenting on that and making comedy out of, like, serious things in our life and, like, making it relevant. And so that's kind of our hugest passion, is really doing that and doing it well. And a lot of them, like, Ronan has, like, a really big director's eye, and I am more the writer. And, like, Tristan, he's got all these characters. It's great. And so we all kind of share the things that we have always focused on with each other to make each other better. And so we're just always trying to get better, stronger, faster, like, smarter, you know, with our comedy. And we keep improving with videos as it goes on. We keep, last time we did, like, a huge green screen thing. I'm editing it now, actually. gonna be really excited. I'm gonna be like a little person, and with Tristan on the other side is like a little angel devil on Ryan's shoulders, and it's gonna be really cool.
Very nice.
Something we performed at one of UCB's, like, bring your own team things. There's events where you can just go if you have a team to test out material. It's awesome. And we did that the other weekend, and it did really well, so we were pretty excited about that. So we shot that. So we're just always every month, and we're trying to do a couple times a month now, doing videos, and we always, like, want it to mean something. You know, we want to touch on, like, cultural issues and societal things. So.
Absolutely, which I think is part of the most beautiful and poignant thing about comedy, is that it does touch on those things. You know, we were saying earlier that, you know, humor and comedy has the tendency to, you know, either make people laugh or cry. And it's just, to me, the best comedy is the comedy that, you know, addresses things such as, you know, racial differences, you know, societal, you know, countercultural, you know, things that are against the norm, or, you know, intersex relations or, you know, whatever, you know, it's just, it's really cool when, you have a comedian or a comic writer that, you know, knows how to address these things and that can make light of them because, you know, these things are so prevalent in our society and, you know, it's kind of interwoven into our fabric.
Yeah. I was trying to use an analogy. It didn't work as well. It was kind of like just, I was thinking of it in the moment, so it almost worked. So maybe it worked kind of now. It was, I was talking about food as comedy. Like, someone was saying, like, well, I like comedy, but I wouldn't do comedy. And I'm like, well, you can make food in as much as you can, like, you can prepare food and you can do food. Like, you don't have to make it yourself. You can put food in the microwave. You can do a bunch of things with food. You can give it to someone else. You can share it. You can just make it from pre-made things. It's like you and as comedians, like we kind of you can make it more digestible for someone. So it's like I think comedians make things by either you know mapping it onto something that's closer to them or to put a different take on it. We make things. We organize it differently, and we kind of make it more digestible for people.
Like, absolutely.
So then they're able to, like, deal with it. And that's what I think it does for society.
Yes, I think that's an excellent analogy. You know, I think you hit it right.
You need to word it better, but
right. No. I think you hit it right on the nail. I mean, helping people to digest it better. You know what I mean? Because it to me, comedy it almost mirrors life. You know, and it's just you know you're just looking at life, everyday life, through different lenses, almost. You know, but
yeah,
it's really cool.
When you see other ones, like, it's just easier to deal with it all.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, Van Damme, you guys have a YouTube channel that people can subscribe to. Tell us about it.
Yeah. I think we have our fourth video coming out in very, very soon. And then we have, I think, two videos scheduled for this month as well. It's basically just a place where you can see our stuff. And we have our Twitter. We have my Twitter. We love to basically interact with people. And that's kind of how we decide what to shoot and what to write. We have a lot of written material already. But we always like to take what we've written and really think about what's going on right now. And we kind of like to write jokes and things about what is going on. And based on the response, we kind of decide from that what to really focus on and what's relevant right now. And so our YouTube channel, we've actually had, like, a good amount of, like, we're lucky we've won this, like Judges Award for our Disney parody, which is really cool. It was basically, you know, like a take on how Disney princesses are, it's like how it would be if it was real and what if something bad happened, how they deal with it. That's been really cool. And we did, our last one was about, how girls have, like, secret codes for guys, and, like, we were able to give, it was really interesting because we wrote that for two girls and a guy, but with two guys and a girl, and so we were so concerned with, like, oh, is that going to be very weird? Is that going to be an issue? Because we don't want to say we're making a sketch to be funny because he's dressed like a girl. But we tried to make it so... I thought Ronan did an amazing job. Like, he does a character that's just such a real thing for him. Like, it's silly, but it's not making fun of the gender. It's just him just being who he would be if he was a girl. It's really cool, like, that he was able to do that. Because we didn't want it to be about that. We wanted it to be about the jokes of sketch, which is, like, using secret code, but, like, taking it to a dumb level. And so we always, like, try to deal with that. Like, oh, what does someone look like when we're writing this? Like, is this weird? And what are we actually saying? So we have, like, a few shorter things coming out soon. And, yeah, we love this medium because we used to do stage shows like every month and sometimes it would be, you know, you're getting laughs for certain reasons that you're like, well, is this really the funny part? And I think video, it really allows you to get a sense of, is this actually funny to everyone? Because it can touch so many different people.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And we just, And we just, like, I don't know, we're very into, like, what is everyone thinking about right now? Like, what are these issues? And, like, a lot of it has been gender and stuff, and comedy as well, because that's, like, a huge thing right now that people are actually starting to care to listen to women about, is just, like, the fact that, like, there is sexism in comedy, and how do we deal with it, and what can we do, and how does this affect everyone? And so we have a lot of things about that as well.
Absolutely. Lisa, you hit on so
it's
many...
it's all funny.
Yes. Yes, it is. Lisa, you hit on so many key points, and I like how you and your team, you know, you guys, you search out, you know, you are aware of the world around you. You want to see how it works. You want to see what ticks. You know, you want to, you know, you want to make an impact. That's what's so awesome is, like, because you know, I think it's safe to say that, you know, in the world of comedy, just like anything else, you have the people that are just out there to get rich and famous and to make a paycheck. But then you have people that are out there to make a difference and to, you know, actually bring awareness to people and to, you know, to show them, you know, I don't know, whatever the ills or the what's plaguing the world, you know, and I think that...
I think people can make a difference, yeah. Like, you're making a difference just by making someone laugh that day, you know? Like,
right.
It would be silly of me to, like, that's when someone, you know, what do I think I'm even doing comedy? Like, what am I actually doing for someone? I'm not really, like, changing, like, it's not like I'm going to tell a joke and then, you know, world hunger is not an issue anymore. Like, that's not going to happen. But,
right.
You know, if I make a joke about something really bad that's going on, but I'm doing it in a really good way, like a smart way, then maybe someone who's really angry about that issue will laugh and be able to maybe get out of that angry place and then just be like, okay, what can I do? Or maybe
exactly.
Someone that's feeling bad because they're a woman and they've been treated badly, that they watch something that deals with sexism, and they just feel like maybe they can wrap more of their head around it, and maybe it's okay to stand up for yourself now because, like, they, I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's what I mean. You know, I feel like, you know, real comedy, it has the ability to change people's thinking. And if you can change the way a person thinks or understands something, you can ultimately make a big difference, because that person, you may not be able to end world hunger or sexism or racism or homophobia, but the next person... Right, that you're talking about it, you're opening a dialogue, and that person, you know, who it could be the president, you know what I mean? It could be somebody of a stance that could or can make a difference, you know? And so that's why it's so – I just feel like it's just such a great vehicle. It's such a great medium.
I just go by basically, like, what helped me and, like, what made me want to go into comedy. And, when I was – a young kid, like, I just had, like, I hated life, I hated the world, like, I just didn't have a good time, didn't have, like, a really great upbringing, but, like, that was my source of, like, if I watched, you know, SNL, I watched all these funny things, like, it just made me happy, and I was just, like, able to, like, go into that world for a bit where not everything sucked, and that's kind of, like, what I like to do, again, in my life and with other people's lives, if they allow it.
I hear you. This actually kind of leads into my next question, but I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about your thoughts on the current state of improv and stand-up and just comedy in general. I know you touched on it a little bit briefly about how you felt that there is sexism in comedy. I agree with you. I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about, you know, what your thoughts are. I mean, there have been a lot of great comedians that have been making headway, like Whitney Cummings and Sarah Silverman and Amy Schumer, but there's still a lot more work to be done. I was wondering if you could just, in your own words, just tell us a little bit about what you feel that the state is right now.
I think it's, like, moving into a better state. I think, it's less of a hush-hush kind of a subject, which is something that I feel like it's could have been years ago, maybe, and it's, which I think is always good. I think the more we go towards transparency and just people able to talk about things, like, that's a good sign. And that's for, like, other issues. You can then touch on that. And, you know, if a lot of things that come out with, like, transgender issues and gay rights issues and those things, like, there are a lot of little things inside those things that are problems, and there are a lot of, like issues that we can't really begin to even deal with until we can freely talk about big things. And so the fact that we can at least, it's not like, you know, taboo now to talk about women in comedy and issues with it, that's a great thing, because then we can touch on the smaller things. And so I think it's good, because there are a lot of different forms of comedy arising. Just, you talk about the other forms, like improv and stand-up, I think that you don't have to do things the way they're presented to you. You know, you can do it your way, and when people do things their own way, they're noticed for that. And it's not just to get noticed, but it's like, do it the way you do your stuff the best, you know, the way you do your shit the best.
Yeah.
it's like, a lot of kids, like, now are doing, like, fine stuff and whatever, but there are a lot of people that actually do really funny things like that, like, you know, not just, like, a silly, stupid thing, like someone running into a wall, but, like, they're doing, like, really funny little segments, and, like, that's their thing. And there are certain ways that you can do that across all mediums, but there's just, if it works for you, it works for you, and I think it's going to blur the lines between the medium, but the content and the quality is still going to, if there's a lot of it, it's going to need to be better to be noticed. So, like, that's, to me, it's positive. To me, it's optimistic. I like it, but, and, like, the more, honestly, for me, if I'm a woman, talking about gender and talking about sexism, it's, there are enough women in the world and enough women that want to be in comedy that I'm hopeful that, you know, the conversation doesn't just end with, like, well, Tina Fey exists and, you know, Amy Schumer exists, so therefore sexism isn't a thing anymore in comedy. So I don't think that we're going to let that happen.
Right.
So I think, you know, like, some people would probably hope that would happen, but, like, I think that fear can be dismissed now, like, that more people will start to get noticed from that, because it's like, well, you know, eventually I have to sleep, so, like, who else? and I think transparency, we're moving more toward that, and I think it's, if people have told you, let's say, like, if someone's, like, aspiring to do it a certain way, like, that you don't do it well or whatever, I think there's, one, you can always get better at it, and two, you don't have to do it that way. And it's just so true, and, like, you know, you just have to do it your way, and the way you will get better, and no one starts off great, and that's why I think it's so funny, like, when people are like, oh, I'll try stand-up, I bombed. Like, well, yeah, you bombed once, so, like, how many other times you bombed? Like, you have to do it more times to do better. Like, you have to fail in front of, you have to fail a lot, and I think that if it's the case of the medium, you're not doing the right thing. Like, let's say you should do, you know, videos, like, kind of a thing, like a segment instead of, or sketches instead of on stage or whatever it is, you're just, well, better received. You should do it where the people understand what you're trying to talk about. Because, obviously, if you're talking about something that your audience isn't knowing about on stage, they're not going to, well, it won't be well received unless you're just, that's your character and they're being weird.
Yeah.
So, I think a lot of people, like, you can find your audience with these new types of mediums, rather than just, oh, I suck at that, therefore I suck at comedy. Like, no, I think a lot of people can be great at comedy. I think almost everyone can be great. Like, you just have to put your effort into the things that will go toward that.
Absolutely.
And not everyone does that. So.
You're so right.
There's no shortage of talent at least in New York City. There's no shortage of talent. There are many, many, many people I know that are insanely, insanely talented. And, like, it's just the focused, like, work ethic that's different about certain people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're so right. I think that's some great, great advice. You know, perseverance is a really strong it's a really strong thing to have, especially if you're seeking, you know, to be success at anything. Perseverance is definitely key.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't do, like, I do one of these techniques with my writing, with sketches, where you kind of parallel ideas to just, like, kind of make a metaphor of the whole thing. And I used to be so bad at that. I used to suck so hard at that. And I liked it. I liked it a lot. I liked the idea of it. And so I just did it over and over and over again, and I, like, wouldn't stop until I was actually good at it. And I was eventually.
Yes. that's another good piece of advice is practice, you know, ultimately does make perfect. Maybe not on the first couple tries, but if you keep doing something, you know, at some point I think muscle memory and just kind of kicks in.
Yeah, I think there's this thing called unthink, the term that they use in behavioral economics, is where you stop thinking consciously so that you can just do what you've learned already, and you can just, your creative juices can take over.
Right. Yeah. Lisa, this brings me to my next question, but I was wondering, for somebody that aspires to be a comedian such as yourself, or, you know, wants to get into, comic writing or comedic writing, or, you know, anything, I guess, relating to entertainment, what advice would you give them? I know the path can be quite arduous, but I know it can also be very rewarding, and I was wondering if you could give some advice to our listeners on...
What can be rewarding?
Well, I was just saying, you know, being a the path to...
Oh, the path, yeah.
It can be very arduous, but rewarding.
I mean, I definitely think that... I was actually thinking about this today. I'll get, girls especially, I love getting, little direct messages from, and that's why I'm like, why wouldn't you open your messages to everyone? That's weird. Like, if you're on Twitter and you don't have open direct messages. But, I'll get this girl, how do I get into comedy? And I'm like, oh my god, it's amazing. Like, first of all, that's awesome. I'm flattered. Like, why are you, I'm whatever. I'm garbage. And, so I'm like, talking to them, and it's really cool because the one thing I noticed about them is that they're all fucking excited as fuck. Like, they're all so excited. And I'm like, that's what you should keep. That's the biggest advice ever. You should keep that. Because, that's the biggest thing that I see about people that I'm like, oh, I'm, disappointed by you. Because, they're not excited about comedy. They just, they're just, annoyed, and they kind of want to, just take something and get a big break. And it's really, that's not the right place for your head to be. It's the people that are just, always excited that are going to be, you're going to have the strength and, the energy to, really, find what you love that's going to hit. And that's really where you're going to be in the place to really notice what's going to get you somewhere. You know, that's a good energy level to be at. And people just love being around people like that. But I would say definitely, know yourself. If you don't know, what your thing is or what makes you special, find out. definitely, spend time with yourself and just when you know you love something or when you know you like something, take note of that. And just after a while, you're going to realize, what your voice is. When you say certain things, you like to say it this way. Or, when you really notice, you love when this happens. Or when you write something like this. Or when someone does this, you think it's especially great, and you started using that a lot. And so I think that's really important to just recognize what your voice is, and what that can then speak to is something you'll find out later. Because I always had this weird idea in my head that I was always way worse than I was, and I think a lot of people are like that, very self-critical.
Yes.
But I always thought being so young, doing improv classes and stuff like that, and in my writing classes, I couldn't go out and drink with people because I was, 19, and I was trying to keep it a secret. but it was obvious because I'm, 19. And I was trying to wear my glasses all, studious and, I'm 25, right? But that would always make me feel like if I did anything, it was never good. Or if someone said something, it definitely meant that I was worse than I was, or if someone said something actually bad, I would believe it. But a lot of people, there's certain times where to take feedback, and there are certain times when you shouldn't. You know, there's sometimes people are wrong. And I guess it's just like learning through learning your own voice, like, okay, I feel what you're saying, but that's not going to work for me, or like, wow, that's an amazing idea, that's a great point, I'm going to do that. And I think that's probably the biggest thing, because it's how you go about doing what you do every day. Like, anyone that's trying to say, like, either, like, you shouldn't do something or spinning it in, like, a negative is probably bad, but if someone's, like, saying, like, that's awesome that you do this, this is great, you should do more of that, or, like, you know, maybe you would work in this way instead, or maybe this is, like, I don't know, there's a way to feel out comments, and sometimes people are really harsh, but, like, they're, but you know, it's like, wow, that's a great point, you know, so I guess just feeling out criticism and is it helping you or is it not? And should, it's a hard thing to do, but, you know.
Absolutely.
It's going to probably get you better is, like, just what criticism you're listening to. And I love listening to criticism. Like, I love when people tell me, like, my followers will tell me all the time that they didn't like a joke. It's really funny. I, like, laugh out loud. Like, I'll be just, like, going about my day and, like, I tweet something and someone should be like, you've done better. And, like, no! And I, like, laugh, and I'm like, thank you. Like, which one did you like better? Like, just like, yeah, I'm not feeling that today. Like, or, like, you've done better than of this, and, like, just, it's really, really funny. But they're, I know they're actually being truthful sometimes, and it's and I, like, think, I start to think about the joke, and I'm like, is this something I've, like, done too much in, like, just a short amount of time, or is this something that's just not funny, or what am I, you know, could I have phrased it in a better way? Could I have used an image or video instead of just writing a joke? And it's, I just love when people are honest like that, because criticism doesn't bother me. I love getting better, and that's what's most important to me. If you're afraid to fail in front of people, then that's like bad, you know.
Absolutely. I think that's some really good advice. You know, there's constructive criticism can be, you know, it can make all the world of difference, especially if you take it and you know you learn from it. I also like that you touched on you know, being super critical of yourself, because I think we all have the tendency to do that, like you said. And
yeah,
it's good to have that self introspection, but you don't want to be like super critical of yourself. So I guess it's just finding that balance.
Especially hard for people that go into comedy, because I find that most people that want to and they really are serious about like trying to go into it and like finding classes and or just like going up on stage, whatever they want to start doing, they tend to be really, really smart. People that go into comedy like are usually like very, very smart people, and very, very smart people are often very, very critical of themselves because they're just more self-aware of their flaws, and
right,
they tend to see those rather than just good things, because good things are always there, and like when they see their flaws they're like trying to like stop it and make it go away. But it's you have to forgive yourself for those things and just like not, it's the hardest thing in the world, like just to not care about failing and stuff like that.
Right.
If you hear it enough and you kind of are amongst people that support an environment where your mistake in that moment does not mean something about you,
mm-hmm,
that is a great environment to be in. You know, that's probably the best environment you can be in, where if someone suggests, like, tells you, like, this joke isn't working, maybe what about this, and you both are brainstorming, and you just have a sense of, like, this doesn't mean anything about me. They know I'm good, and I know they're good, and we're just making something better together. And that's kind of, like, what I know I have with Van Damme. That's pretty amazing. Like, we just all rewrite each other's things, and if we write sketches, we'll sometimes write them together, sometimes separately, and we'll come together and we'll change things around, play with ideas, and we know we love each other, and we know, like, that we're all, like, respectful of, like, okay, you're talented, let's change this. Like, we just have a sense of trust of, like, you guys are awesome and great. And so if you don't know that, that's going to be like, oh, my God, I'm terrible. But, like, if you can find the people that are making you feel, while giving criticism, that you're, like, you are good, this particular joke in this moment just needs to be reworked, then that's an amazing chemistry, and you should, like, go toward that. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I agree, because I think that's great career advice for aspiring comedians, but it's also really good life advice as well. Because, I mean, there's just, I mean.
Yeah, you said comedy is life, right?
Uh-huh, that's right.
Oh, my God, I'm coming back to it.
Well, Lisa, this has been an amazing interview, and I'm all out of questions, but I wanted to open the floor to you if there's anything you'd like to say to our listening audience. And I also wanted to ask you if you could tell our listening audience how to keep up with you. I know you do, like, Van Damme, and, you know, you're working on a, on a slew of other things. I was wondering if you could tell us how to keep up with, you know, what you're doing and how to follow you. Follow you on social media.
I mean, I always try to, because I know, like, my Twitter is probably the place where people would find Van Damme through me if they were finding out that way, unless they were going to YouTube itself. But definitely, I always try to have that be, like, the main place to interact with me, at least. Like, it's funny, because Ronan, one of the guys on Van Damme, he knows that, like, if he emails me, he doesn't know if, like, I'll respond, but if he like, messages me on Twitter, like, he knows I'll respond. And, like, so he'll always do that if he needs to know something or if he's just, like, wants to talk or whatever. But, or, like, he'll oh, I have this important thing, I better message you on Twitter. I'm definitely always keeping up with, like, the news and stuff on Twitter a lot, just because that's, we all love to do that. And that's, like, a huge, huge place where, like, news is, like, actually been on, reported on, like, first. Like, I think there's a Twitter user that found, like, Dylan Roof's car and stuff like that. And so there's just a lot of stuff can be found out about everything there, and I like it. So I'm usually active on there, and people can follow me through there and find out what's going on. And you can find Van Damme through there. That's in the link in my bio for sure, and as well as their Twitter. Their Twitter. I'm in it. Our Twitter. And so you have links to their, like, Ronan and Tristan's Twitter through that, through Van Damme's Twitter. So it's Lisa Vikingstead, just at Lisa Vikingstead, and Van Damme Comedy is just the at symbol, and Van Damme Comedy is the channel on YouTube, it'll say. And that's really cool, because we're coming out with a new video soon, which is awesome. We're working on a show too, just like a fuller, like a longer show. It's like more political, which is really cool because we all get to do, like, kind of faux impressions of people. We also have this really cool idea for a sketch we want to shoot soon that has, like, us doing, like, a variety of characters. We always all play all the characters. That's our, like, rule, is that we want people to know us, and because we. Like, it's kind of hard when you keep up with people. It's like they keep changing, they keep adding people, or they just do random people. We like to just have it be us, because we want to highlight, like, okay, here we are, you know, here, what we want to talk about. Like, let's find out what you think. And so we want people to know, like, we're talking about these things, and I think it's important to know who we are because of that. And so everything, yeah, you can find their personal websites on their Twitter as well, and on the Van Damme Comedy YouTube page as well. It's really all on the social media, and we're getting other websites up too soon, but really just going to see everything happening as soon as it happens, if you're following us or if you're on subscribing to our YouTube and our Twitter and stuff like that. So, and we have a Facebook fan page as well. So, yeah, Twitter and YouTube, biggest things that we, like, update everything constantly, try to do the Facebook as well, and, yeah, there's just a lot of really cool things I'm excited about. We have a lot of stuff, but we try to speak it out, and we try to, like, so we can get it all done, but there's a lot of stuff that we have. There's a lot of, like, gender commentary, we have a lot of things on that, a lot of cool commentary on, like, media and things like that we really think will resonate, and we like to always do it in, like, wow, I've never seen it done in that way before. And so, like, the past few times I've, like, met with them for, like, writers meetings, we've had little moments where, like, wait, oh my god, that's like that, holy crap, I've never seen that said in that way, or, like, you know, things like that. And it's really exciting, and so we love to just hear what other people have to say about it, and for some people to be excited too.
Very nice. Very nice. You guys have quite a lot of stuff going on, which is good.
We also have Instagram and Vine, but
oh yes,
you can see all of that just by searching things. I think if you see, well, I think just all have that on. They announce it through their Twitters. Like they, Tristan's part of Point Break Live. That's in Brooklyn. That's gonna be. Wait, what is it? I can find out right now. Is what I'm saying. that is very soon. I have a thing, Bunga's Den. I'm doing some stand up on Thursday. And let's see. But that's like, yeah, let's see.
I'm picturing you with a Rolodex.
What?
I said I'm picturing you with a Rolodex, just thumbing through it.
It is Friday, August 28th, is Tristan's last Point Break Live show. So it's like the movie, but live. It's really cool. Nice. He does it all the time, and it's intense. And then also we're going to do the Bungus Den thing as a sketch team on the 13th as well. So, like, we're always doing stuff, but we always announce it a bit before. So we'll probably advertise that, you know, the week before or whatever. Maybe searching through, like, my Rolodex, like, what is this thing? I don't even know what it is. And, like, searching through, like, notepads. I'm like, no, I'm on my MacBook. What do you love as far as comedy influences?
Oh man, my comedy influences are I guess my love is pretty broad, but one of my all time favorite comedians is Richard Carlin. George Carlin, I'm sorry. It's George Carlin. Richard Pryor is my second one. I just totally meshed the two together.
It's like Carlin. Okay, Carlin.
Yeah, George Carlin and Richard Pryor. Those are my two favorites. But, of course, you know, like I love, you know, the new contemporaries, you know, like Paul Rudd. And I love Judd Apatow.
I think he's great because he went on that whole thing about Bill Cosby. It's like, I love when they, that's what we all love, is like the whole like passion, like, no, this is an important thing. Like, comedians are just really passionate people. That
right,
weird
exactly.
Things. And like, you know, so that's a, you know.
Absolutely.
That's great.
Then I also like Chris Farley, who's no longer with us. The whole, you know, I just love comedy. The medium of it is just amazing. I still have yet to see Chris Tucker's new Netflix special. I've been meaning to watch it. I just haven't had the chance to, but hopefully.
Yeah, I haven't either.
Hopefully here soon I will. What about
how many people?
I know. What about you? Who are some of your comedy legends or heroes?
I grew up like watching Weekend Update and then Tina Fey and those people, and those were really like people I was like looking up to. It's weird because I definitely like read about a lot of comedians more than I watched them. whenever I have like free time, just for like, you know, leisure or whatever it is, I'll just like always like read about someone, like their biography or like a book they wrote or something, rather than like watch their special, just because I want to like know like how their mind works, kind of. And I loved reading that, like Steve Martin and Robin Williams and those people, because I just loved the way they were thinking about it. Like Steve Martin is like, he's either going to be like a, I think he got a philosophy like degree or something, and he really got into comedy because of linguistics, and he was just so fascinated by like the way things were phrased and how that could turn into comedy.
Yeah.
And just how arguments were made and how that could be like, that could be a way to do comedy. And he's like, I'm either going to be a philosopher or do comedy. I think that was what he said or something. And he was just so into like in the neurotic mechanics of it. And I love that, because I do that too.
Absolutely.
And there's just like the talking about really serious things. And, you know, they are, you know, they didn't always do that, but I liked that they talked about really everyday things, but in a way that was like darker sometimes, or, you know, was a little bit more upbeat than you'd expect, or something like that. But
yes, absolutely.
I like those intense people.
Yeah, they really were. I mean, I just, yeah, you know, talking about deep stuff like that can often be very, I guess, uncomfortable or unsettling, but they found a way.
They're both kind of manic enough to pull it off.
Right. You're so right.
I like how Steve Martin plays a banjo because I play the flute.
Oh, wow.
Well, I don't play it well, but
okay.
I just play it.
That's funny.
Yeah. And people like laugh at it, but I'm like, oh, it's because I'm not that like, great. But it's not because I'm bad. It's just like I'm playing like hip hop on flute.
What?
And like, what the only thing like, I'm interested in doing is like I'll play like Young Money stuff on the flute. And like people just think like it sounds dumb. And it does. It sounds like really dumb. But like it's funny. Kind of. I don't know. It's fun for me, so people laugh at it.
That's too funny.
But I was like, that's the thing, I wouldn't necessarily know what to do with that in a sketch or something, so that's why, like, I just put that in a little video sometimes, like, just, like, playing around. I'm sure someone could if they were, like, if that was their thing. Like, I'm not passionate enough about the flute to, like, do that, but if I could think of something that could involve the flute, I would totally do it.
Yes.
The problem is you can't speak. Or maybe that's the good thing, I don't know. So many open-ended questions.
Hey, open-ended is good. I mean, I think that's what makes the best conversations, because when you pose a question like that, it helps the person to kind of really think and dig deep on kind of like what their stances are, and you get to see kind of like what makes the person who they are, you know. And it's really good.
that's always like cool to me, is to see like if you have a problem discussing something, I always find like going to the individual themselves is like the way to do it.
Yes.
You know, like if you want to tackle a problem that's happening and it's happening to people, like go to that one person, or go find an individual story and talk about it. Moreover than just the whole issue, because people can relate to the person. They don't necessarily, they're not really receptive to the big issue, but if you go specific and you go to that individual story, people can probably relate to that person in other ways, and then they're more interested and they're more receptive to talking about the issue that you're trying to talk about.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
I think also movies do a lot too. Like you'll see that storyline you always see, but it's talking about something bigger or more painful.
Yes, so. Yes. You're so right. I mean...
There's just so many things. Tommy, it definitely does, like, sometimes if you're in, like, a heated, really passionate, great, like, a writer's meeting or just, like, a session or practice or whatever it is that you're doing, you can always, like, feel, like, therapeutic, because you're just having so many epiphanies at once, and it's like, oh my god, what is this? the world needs to know.
Yeah, I think that's one of the other beautiful things about comedy is just, you know, it's just so cathartic, you know. It can be cathartic, you know, just really, you know, allows you to, you know, just kind of release things like stress or, you know.
It's funny that people like kind of try to harp on, like, they try to say, like, oh, it's bad, but like, oh, like, everyone's, you know, too PC or something like that. And, but I think anyone has a problem with certain things or whatever, I think that's a great opportunity to do something smarter because, you know, someone's not having an issue for no reason, like if it's a lot of people, like, at once. And I think, like, a lot of times, like, it's just miscommunicated or whatever, but I think the fact that there's an issue, like, that's a great opportunity to, like, explore, like, why is there an issue, and, like, what haven't we been paying attention to? And so I think all these things aren't, like, things to get down about with comedy. Like, a lot of people seem to be pessimistic, like, oh, this is ruining comedy, this is blah, blah, blah. It's not really, because it's giving you more information, so how is that ruining it? You know, you're finding there's more to it. There's someone has an issue, isn't that information? Isn't that something you can then find out more about, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think anyone that's younger that's, like, hearing all these bad things, like, people talk about, like, oh, now I can't say this, and blah, blah, and it's like, okay, well, why? Whenever something happens, like, why not ask yourself the question, at least? Like, why is this happening, and, like, is there something else? Is there something deeper to go with here? And there usually is. So I just think people should be excited about it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. You you hit on some good points there.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Well, Lisa, yeah, thank you.
Young people, anyone trying to get into it should.
Yes, absolutely. I think you know, we definitely live in a do-it-yourself you know, culture, and
yeah,
we live in a culture, you know, the internet age, where, you know, your passions can be really fostered and they can become a reality much more, you know, easier than, say, things used to be. And so I think if you want to pursue anything, you have the power to do so. And I think that if you can,
you have the power.
Right. If you can just make the step, if you can just get out of the boat, I think that, that you'll find that, that things will be much, much easier having started rather than not start at all, you know.
Yeah, that's what I actually do. If I ever, like, want to write something, I'm just not doing it. I'll just, like, make myself move the pencil, or I'll just make myself type. Because, like, you have to eventually start making sense. Like, you just have to turn your thoughts to something. And so you'll eventually start doing it. And there's a way that me and one of the guys have been writing where, like, we will sit with each other and, like, if we get go on tangents or something that's, like, not really relevant to, like, finishing the script, it's more like we'll just be like, okay, well, what's happening right now in the script? And, like, we'll, like, catch each other and, like, go down to it. So it's funny. Or if I'm, like, not doing anything, like, not getting up, I'll, like, make myself do little things and, like, physically to, like, start doing something so that I can go write. Procrastination!
Yeah, I have days like that as well, or sometimes it's just hard to get out of bed, or it's hard to get started on a project. But yeah, just doing those little things, you know, little things add up, yeah, which is good. And also sometimes those little things are enough to get you just kind of started on the right path of what you're, you know, really, yeah, supposed to be doing.
Yeah, I think it's just being interested in it. Like, if you're really excited about it, really interested in it, as long as you get your fingers moving and your, or like something going, it'll turn out. Like, I was a writing tutor for a while at my college, and the biggest thing I would feel like was like, well, of course you don't want to write this paper on art because you're an engineer. Like, why would you care about it? Like,
exactly.
So if you were interested in it, like, if you find some way to make this thesis statement interesting, you'll have an easier time writing it.
Yeah. Yep. You're so right. Yeah, it's hard sometimes when you're, you know, you're passionate about one thing, or when you want to, yeah, like, if you're if you're an artist, you know, of course you're not going to be thrilled about math, you know, or vice versa, you know, like you said, it's just sometimes
you're going to be thrilled about office work or whatever.
Exactly.
But no one's going to be thrilled about office work regardless. I've yet to meet someone like thrilled about office work. Maybe a few people, but I mean, it's just about like looking at things differently and, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're so right. Lisa, thank you so much. This has been an awesome interview. And guys, if you're
thank you.
You're welcome. Guys, if you're listening to this on SoundCloud, check us out on our website. It's www.wittenradio.com. You can also listen to this interview on your mobile phone or your mobile device. Just download the Stitcher Smart Radio app. It's available for free in the Google Play as well as the iTunes Store. You can download the app and search for our show name. It's Redefining the Counterculture. You'll hear this interview with Lisa. It'll be at the very, very top. And for any of our iTunes users, we're also on iTunes under podcasts. And you can just search for us, Witten Radio, and you will also find this interview with Lisa at the very, very top. Thank you so much, Lisa.
Thank you.
This is Redefining the Counterculture on Witten Radio. Make sure to check out our website at wittenradio.com.